Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Four people at work today asked me about this podcast.
Woo!
Four people asked me about the Wretched Hive Podcast, and you have found the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, May 27th, episode 11.
Yes.
Of the Wretched Hive. And it's a special day because, just a little pulling the curtain back, we record 2 days earlier than the release date, and today is May 25th, which of course is a pretty famous day in the history of Star Wars.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
You're showing them how the sausage is made, Steve.
You're giving away all our secrets, man.
Is it 39 years today?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
39 years ago today, episode 4 was released in theaters. That is incredible. And I am...
We are older than that.
And tomorrow is the 39th anniversary of Lucas making the first alteration to the Star Wars print.
We are a minute into this podcast, and I'm already going to change the subject because, Steve, you brought it up early. It is also the anniversary of another famous franchise. Can anybody name the science fiction franchise that also shares the birthday of May 25?
Ooh. I think I know this one. I don't want to blurt it out, though. I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper.
I hope you do if you brought it up.
I'm going to write it down on paper. You tell me if I'm correct. I don't want to...
Everybody's going to see it, though.
Oh, that's true. All right.
No, look. I think it's the back of the paper.
I think it's Alien. Is it Alien?
Alien, correct, sir. Alien today. It was May 25, 1979.
Really?
So two fantastic franchises sharing the birthday, Star Wars and Alien. Wow. Universes collide.
Wow. Is it weird they ever crossed?
Distributed by 20th Century Fox?
Wow.
I don't know.
Well,
why haven't we seen any aliens in Star Wars? Maybe there's one hiding in the Senate somewhere. We just missed it.
Well, there's more Star Wars coming. Oh, that would be good, Nico. That's a good call. We should check that out. Let me do some introductions here. First of all, we'll start off with, as tradition holds, my good friend and yours, Greg Lent.
Welcome, Steve. Tonight, Greg Lent is brought to you by Barley Forge. Nice. Barley Forge out of Costa Mesa. I'm drinking the Patsy tonight. And I'm damn glad to be here.
You know, we need to drop some business cards off at the good old Barley Forge and promote them on our show so they will sponsor us because we love them.
It's a great idea.
Give me free beer.
That coconut stout. Oh, man. So good. So good. And talking about a coconut, we have my good friend and lifelong Star Wars fan, Scotty Vansky.
Thank you, Steve. I just want to say real quick, I feel like I've let you guys down with this lifelong Star Wars fan thing. So tonight, I will be recording, broadcasting, however you like to say it, in my retro gold bikini a la Slave Leia.
Nice.
And my Lucha Libre mask.
Mm. Well, nice.
Also a la Slave Leia.
Yes.
Can you turn the video feed off when that happens? Because... I don't need to see that.
Well, oh, no, I will make sure that picture is posted on the website.
It's not the first time he's done it, Steve. It's okay.
That is true, Dave. Thank you.
Also, we have the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
Good evening, everybody. Children, don't forget to eat your vegetables and always let the Wookiee win.
Always let the Wookiee win. Good call. Did you guys see the... you had to see Chewbacca Mom by now.
Oh, yeah.
Chewbacca Mom is awesome. We will have her on the show a little bit later. I wish she was actually going to be on the show, but we gotta play that video. It's just
her
so
laugh,
good. Oh, my God. It's infectious.
Those laughs.
Oh, man. I'm going to drink and not talk on that one.
One more of the Wretched Five. Oh, what are you holding up? Oh my God. I don't know. Sorry, this is an audio podcast. What? I just forgot. Scott is showing inappropriate photos of 3PO with
I resent that.
He's
is that a crotch shot of C-3PO?
C-3PO appears to have grown another appendage. It's not red. This one's gold.
That is the famous. Well, first of all, that's Greg that's showing the pornographic C-3PO. Your lifelong friend and mine.
I hope he doesn't plug that into the power terminal. I hope he plugs it into the proper port. And he docks it correctly. That's all I'm saying.
You can always count on wit and wisdom from Dave. Do not, under any circumstances, call him Harry Potter.
Hey, you know what? We're here tonight. The beer is flowing. Skype is working. There's no feedback, so there'll be no one to stop us this time.
Excellent.
Only barely.
And, I'm sorry, Dave. That was rude. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, buddy.
If anybody wants to see exactly what we're talking about, just go to the Twitter feed, Wretch Hive Pod. It is up there now. You can see exactly what it is that grossed everybody out immensely.
Greg, Lord, I'd like to ask Lord, real quick, is that an actual card?
No, it's just a pick off the net. I do not have that card. I had the opportunity to buy it, but it was like $60 at the time, and I think I was very young and I didn't have $60 to spend on a card. So
I think you can buy a house with that card now.
I don't know exactly what the collector's market is for green Star Wars Topps cards. So
is it a Topps card or is it a costume for like reserved for Saturday nights at the Lentz house? You mentioned Twitter. You can also connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast, or leave us a voicemail. Our voice message line, 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE, H-I-V-E. Leave us a message, and you never know, it might just get played on the air. And guys, we're going to use that voice message line as part of a contest. We are going to be giving away, and details will be at the end of the show, but we are going to be giving away a Blu-ray DVD copy of The Force Awakens. How about that? Yep, it's going to happen. So listen in. At the end of the show, we're going to give you instructions on how to enter to win a Blu-ray DVD copy of The Force Awakens.
Should I call now? Should I call now?
You are not eligible to win, sir. I'm sorry.
Damn it!
But before we do that, we've got news.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
So guys, May is birthday month for Star Wars. I mean, not only do we have, as we record this podcast on May 25th, of course, episode 4, A New Hope, was released on May 25th, 1977. But that's not the only Star Wars movie that was released in May, guys. Of course, Star Wars fans for multiple generations now have looked forward to May as the release time, and we're getting some changes with that, with the Episode 7 and Rogue One and Episode 8 scheduled for December releases. But some pretty big movies came out this month, and I'm just gonna quiz you guys here. So name the Star Wars movie that was released in May, guys, and bonus if you can come up with the date. Give it your best shot.
I'm going to exclude myself because I can see it on the show notes.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, I don't have the show notes, but let's go.
All right.
What am I doing?
So I'm going to come back. I'm going to say Cannonball Run 2, December 19th.
Sweet.
Nice.
Am I right?
That was great. Dom DeLuise rocks it always.
All right, Dave, I don't know. But Dave and Nico, do you guys have the show notes in front of you or no?
No, I do not.
All right.
I don't look at the show notes.
All right, so let's go. Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Give me the day, the date and the year that movie was released.
May 20th, 1980.
May 20th, 1980.
Okay. Nico?
What?
Well, according to
No.
Wikipedia,
I'm gonna go with what was Scott, what did Scott say?
They both said May 20th, 1980.
May 21st.
Boom! Nico, well, according to Wikipedia, The Empire Strikes Back was released on May 21st.
Nice.
Well, I just wanted a plus one, you guys.
Well, you plus one, buddy.
All right,
Jesus, Price has righted you straight up, dude.
All right, let's go Return of the Jedi, Episode 6. Give me the date and the year that it was released.
Curse you, IMDb.
Oh, Dave's cheating.
I can't cheat. Come on, Potter.
Dave is
Scott, I know you know this, Scott. I know you know this one.
I do know this because I can even tell you where I was on that day. All How about right. that?
Okay, let's hear it.
May 25th, 1983, I was standing outside Cerritos Twin Theaters, United Artists, here in Cerritos, California.
You are correct.
Was
sir.
That on May 23rd?
May 25th.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yep. All right, we've got a few other movies. So, Episode 1.
May 19th, 1999.
Correct. Episode 2.
Oh, good God.
May 23rd.
Another okay. May.
Dave, here's the deal. If I get this wrong, Christine's going to kill me because she was there on that day with me and Karen. So, Nico, you go first.
Do you really think Christine remembers the day, though? I mean, really?
No.
She probably barely remembers she saw that movie.
Crap.
Don't tell
we're
her.
Going episode.
You know
two?
She listens to the podcast, right, Greg?
Nico, don't say things like that. Nico, bad Nico.
So we're talking episode 2. That was in what year was that even?
2002.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't know. I know that. Taken out of school for it on that day, though. I'm gonna go with the 21st.
I was gonna say May 22nd, 2002.
I feel like it was a Tuesday.
I've got May 16th,
2002. May Damn 16th. It. It was the week
close.
Before.
You guys
That's
are close.
Stupid.
Last one, episode 3. First, what year was it?
2005.
Correct.
May 19th.
You are correct, sir.
All right.
Well done.
Hot damn Tabali, man. Jesus.
May is birthday.
Nico, I want that on a shirt.
You got it, boss.
You know, I almost hate to bring this up, but I'm getting a lot of static and interference. Are you guys hearing what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly coming from you.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Press on, sir. Press on.
All right. Guys, so in other news, we've got Ewan McGregor making the rounds. Of course, Ewan played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels, and there's been quite a lot of talk about another series of movies that might perhaps feature Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, maybe even a trilogy. And he's been talking. We kind of covered this last week, but I wanted to bring it up again because there's been a little bit of backlash from Ewan himself. He was quoted as saying, "I don't need closure with this character. I am perfectly fine the way we ended it." And I thought this interview was interesting in particular. This is Ewan McGregor and Stellan Skarsgård came into Magic's green room to talk about their movie our kind of traitor, and here's what Ewan had to say about playing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You really have unfinished business, though, with Star Wars, because obviously you were very good in the prequels that you did, but they weren't globally received as well as, say, The Force Awakens has. So would it be nice to kind of get some kind of closure, I guess, with that?
No. No, I don't mean I don't. What you just described there is totally not how I feel about it at all. So,
how do you feel about it?
Obviously, if you were playing Obi-Wan Kenobi, you would feel that you needed some closure. But I don't. I made 3 movies amongst 70 or however many others. And that's what they were to me. They're 3 movies of amongst a bunch of other ones. And I was very happy with them, and I'm very happy to have been in them. And I liked that there were films that children could watch for the first time in my career. Most of the films were made up to them. Children wouldn't have been allowed to watch, or shouldn't have watched. And so that was interesting. And I was very happy to be in them. But that's where it ends for me. I don't have a burning need to do it again, or indeed any sort of fascination for the movies that everyone else seems to have. I don't really have that. Maybe because I've been in them and I've seen behind the curtain. You know what I mean? It's not it doesn't have the same sort of wonderment to me.
So there's Ewan saying, you know, I don't need to do this again. And this is, I thought it was interesting because it kind of flies in the face of the clip that we played last week when he was basically saying, I would love to do another 3 movies. What do you guys think about that?
I think Disney came up to him and said, we'll pay you $15 to come back and do it. And then he changed his mind quick.
You think he's that hurting for money?
No, he's not that hurting for money, but I think they totally under-offered him, and now he's saying, you know what, I really don't need to do this after all.
So this is just a game that's going back and forth, most likely.
Well, I also, the tenor and tone of the question was basically, you know, hey, you are a pretty good actor who was in 3 crappy movies. Do you feel the need to go back and revisit the character and have some personal obligation? And no, of course.
You see, he said he doesn't need to go back and revisit the character. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't or that he wouldn't want to, but he doesn't feel like there's any need to go back and reprise his character into that role to, like, you know, redeem himself or that character. Mm. Doesn't mean he wouldn't want to.
The Harrison Ford is strong in Ewan McGregor.
I mean, do we need to rewatch the movies over and over and over again? No, but we thoroughly enjoy doing so and will continue to do so.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I suspect if Disney approaches him with the right offer, he would absolutely do it. But he has no compelling need to. I mean, if they're just like, we're going to do a movie and he thinks it's going to be an absolutely shitty movie, there's no way he's going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think he'll do it just to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a different take, and Obi-Wan Kenobi's my favorite character in the Star Wars universe. I would love to see this trilogy happen. And so I was reading up on and listening to some other shows about this, and, you know, there's an opinion out there that, you know, when he said what he said on the clip that we played last week, which was, I haven't heard anything, but I would love to do another series of movies. There's an opinion that, you know, he almost sounds like he's somewhat groveling a little bit. Like, come on, guys, I haven't gotten a call yet. When are you going to call me? And someone who's as accomplished as Ewan McGregor really doesn't need to do that. So this may be that he doesn't want to come across as though he's groveling and, you know, angling to be in a Star Wars movie. Just sort of taking some of the pressure off of himself. Because then what happens is, you know, what happens when he doesn't get a call? Then it kind of makes him look like, you know, not so good. So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting take, and I certainly want them to happen. I like him. I like the character. I think this is a little bit of gamesmanship. I tend to agree with you, Scott.
2005 is when episode 3 came out.
Yeah.
So it's now been 11 years since then. It'd be it'd be cool to start shooting in, you know, the next 5-ish years, 10 years for some sort of in between 3 and 4 Obi-Wan kind of movies, because he would naturally be that older than episode 3 but not quite old man in episode 4, to where it would be cool to see what he did on Tatooine. Or maybe, you know, he ventured away from Tatooine and had to go do other sort of, like, you know, Jedi business somewhere else, but felt obligated to stay close to Luke. I feel like if it was going to happen, the timing is kind of prime for that.
Oh, well, the story's possibilities are just so rich with that character and what was going on in the years between episode 3 and episode 4. There's a lot of different ways that they could take it, and I would be all in. Absolutely.
I agree with what you're saying, Steve, but what you were saying earlier, I know that's an opinion that can be, well, you know, it's out there on other sites and other maybe podcasters' opinions or whatever, but I don't think so. I think Ewan McGregor didn't. Ewan McGregor is a wonderful, wonderful actor. I think he's got the chops. He's got certainly the indie cred. He's got a lot going for him. And when he came into the series, it was a wonderful breath of fresh air. I mean, most of the actors that they were picking at the time was really impressive until we ended up getting three piles of steaming crap. But minus that feeling, Ewan McGregor really shined in those films. He really came across well. And if you look back at his filmography, I mean, he's done two of my personal favorite films in an indie sense. Shallow Grave is an amazing film, and Trainspotting is another wonderful, wonderful film that's out there. But, you know, to say that he's, you know, it's almost like he's playing some game, or they're playing some game, and he says he wants to do it, and if he doesn't say he doesn't, you know what? I know it's the Hollywood scene, but that just seems like too much BS for me. He, I think, genuinely put himself out there and said that he wouldn't mind coming back. Then you have all this now playing, like he's doing this interview saying, you know, no, I don't really need the, I don't need to feel completed if I don't finish. It's just too much. It's like, you know what? He's just an actor. He does a bunch of really good stuff. And if he does come back, I think all the better for us as fans. So, sorry, I started to get a little rambly there.
But the rambling man.
Yeah. But I think he is just a decent, decent actor who's got the chops. I mean, my God, the guy sounds like Alec Guinness. That blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went on record last week, said I wanted to write the script, even though I'm not a writer. But This is really the movie. If you're talking an anthology series, this is the one I would want to see. You know, they've got to make it attractive to him for him to come forward and do it, sure. But this would be the one that I would really get geeked out over. I think it would just be phenomenal. I think he would do a fine job with it, do a fantastic job with it, and I think that it would be a fun and exciting series showing the bridge between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree. And whether or not Ewan continues, all signs are pointing towards the fact that Star Wars is going to continue. And there's a great article. I think, Nico, you may have added this to the show notes, actually.
Oh, did it show up? Cool.
Yeah, it did. On Wired.com. Very, very cool article called "The Force Will Be With Us Always."
Always.
And what's really cool about this on Wired.com is they've got a really neat sort of interactive home page for this article with this super detailed illustration of the Falcon being built and all these characters beneath it and over it and on top of it. And you can sort of hover over different elements of this picture and zoom in and see the detail. Whoever came up with this concept is brilliant. It's just a really neat interactive sort of webpage. And then you scroll down and you get the article itself, which starts with Kathleen Kennedy has heard a lot of movie pitches for decades. She worked with Steven Spielberg producing E.T. the Extraterrestrial. the Indiana Jones series, the Jurassic Park series. You get the picture. So it probably wasn't a surprise. It was cool even when, right after Kennedy took over as head of Lucasfilm, the company George Lucas founded to make Star Wars, John Knoll, walked into her office. And it goes on to talk about how he pitched what will now become Rogue One. And that was back in 2012. So just a really cool article. Go check it out. Wired.com. Talking about how Star Wars is here to stay. And at a minimum, we've got the next 5 years mapped out. Right, guys? We've got Rogue One this Christmas, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Ep 8 at Christmas of 17.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Han Solo standalone. And is that in May of 18?
Right now, at least, yeah.
Right?
I think that's what they had scheduled, but they did push, obviously they pushed episode 8 back. So
right.
I would assume if they run into trouble, which they haven't even started filming yet, they haven't really officially announced the guy, that kid is the actor, have they really? That's still just a rumor, or is that official?
It's official.
Yep, we covered that last week. That is a done deal.
But I think the point of the article that I think we haven't touched on just yet is that this giant media powerhouse, Disney, purchased Lucasfilms and all the rights for Star Wars for literally billions of dollars. And while, yes, they may make those back in these movies, they are a business. They are here to make money. And while we love the product that they're putting out, they're going to be wringing Star Wars for every nickel and dime that they can get out of it for as long as they possibly can. So basically, at the heart of it, they're saying that Disney is not going to let Star Wars go away. It's going to be a thing that's going to continue to maybe not pump out movies just to pump out movies, but that they are going to explore Star Wars and the Star Wars universe as far and wide as they possibly can to put out content to continue making money.
Well, that's clear just by the fact that they're building a huge extension on the park here in Anaheim, California. So,
oh yeah,
you know, Disney is a machine, and they are going to pump out the marketing, the rides, the movie shows. They are going full throttle, just like Marvel.
Speaking of cartoons, do we know what the next cartoon is going to be after Rebels? Are there any rumors? Do we see an end to Rebels? Is Rebels over?
Yeah, is Rebels ending? Or?
Rebels is not ending. Rebels is continuing for sure. I don't know if they've announced another cartoon, other than there's been a couple of announcements about Lego Star Wars. I think they're getting another series. But beyond that, I'm not sure.
No, I think Steve's right. And I kind of wonder if they're not managing the franchise or the brand differently than they are Marvel. I mean, you look at Marvel, and that house is gearing up for 3 movies a year for the next 3 to 4 years. Star Wars is having 1 movie and maybe a television series. And I wonder if they're just not looking at it saying it's a smaller universe, if you will, a smaller amount of lead characters in Star Wars, so they're kind of dishing the product out a little more slowly than Marvel, which has this whole stable of people that can be a leading star.
But theoretically, if you look at the 2 franchises that they bought, loosely said franchise, one is an entire company. Well, actually, both of them are entire companies.
Yeah.
Marvel, you have such a vast back catalog of characters and history there. We're talking 70-plus years, where Star Wars, as big as the universe might be, is roughly, 39 years old.
Yeah, and they wiped a lot of that history out when they got rid of the expanded universe,
which gives them a whole clean slate to produce whatever they want. But, I mean, look what they're doing with Marvel. Marvel is already up to 13 films. They've just crossed, $11 billion in grosses for all 13 films combined. That's unbelievable. I need to double check these stats, but that might be the highest grossing franchise unadjusted. Not unadjusted, just regular box office receipts right there. That's insane numbers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I like to compare. I always think about the Bond series. I mean,
yes.
How many Bond films are there? 25?
Yeah, it's got to be up there.
They just 25. Had their 50 years, right? A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Bond has been around since when? 63 or something? I mean, that, you know, it's Star Wars could go on for a very long time, guys, especially with the power of Disney.
The problem you run into, though, and this is the same problem that Marvel is going to have, that James Bond has done a great job of getting away from until recently with Daniel Craig, is they were able to release Bond films and change actors and just have it be a story. There was no talk of the actors are now changed, it's now a different guy. Whereas the difference with Marvel is if it's not Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, people are going to riot. And you're painting yourselves in the corner because he's going to die one day. I'm sorry, but he's going to die one day, or he's just going to be too old to be in the suit. And I would like to, if they would have seen it happen quicker with Indiana Jones, because Indiana Jones is really the perfect case for making this Bond thing happen. Just put a different guy in there. It doesn't have to be Harrison Ford. Put a different guy in there. Indiana Jones can be the American James Bond, and just have a different guy play it and have it go on and just tell stories. Just give me a good story. I don't care who's doing it. Give me a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to update my stats on here real quick. The highest grossing franchises right now, Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, has taken the lead at $10.1 billion. The number two spot was, and that's with 13 films, Harry Potter was $7.7 billion and 8 films. And the third one is James Bond series with 26 films at just over $7 billion.
Hmm. Now, that 26 films, though, that has to include the Casino Royale spoof.
It does that was not done. Because...
No, I'm pretty sure that the 26 number includes that one, which I would argue is not a, you know, real quote-unquote James Bond franchise movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look right now. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I thought they didn't include that because it's not from the same company.
It's not Broccoli that did that, right?
Yeah, and MGM. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, because I was just trying to look it up too, and I thought the number was 26, but that included Casino Royale and 1983's Never Say Never Again. So if you eliminate those two, that's 24 mainstream, you know, continuity, if you will, Bond movies.
It does not include Never Say Never Again, and it does not include the other Casino Royale, which would put it at 28.
Well, I'm confused. Casino Royale was not a Bond movie?
The original Casino Royale. The Daniel Craig one is a remake.
Yeah, there was a Casino Royale that was, wasn't it a comedy? With
yeah, it was Woody Allen. Allen.
Woody
Peter
Allen.
Sellers.
That's right, Peter Sellers. That's right.
That was in this period of time called the 70s.
Oh, that's when y'all were just doing drugs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if I remember right, that book, that was Ian Fleming's first Bond book. And for whatever reason, the rights for that one were sold separate from the rights to the James Bond series. So you had the studio over there doing, you know, the Sean Connery movies, and then Casino Royale was made as a comedy by a different studio with a different vision.
That is correct. And again, those two were not added into that 26 total. So
okay.
If you look at that list, it would actually be 28 films and whatever the act. I don't think those other films made a ton of money, but and just to tie this back into the Star Wars podcast of the Star Wars podcast we're doing, Star Wars is number four with 8 films at just under $6.5 billion.
Oh, nice.
I have a feeling that's gonna move up a bit over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's gonna overtake James Bond and Harry Potter, definitely.
Harry Potter has another movie this summer.
Oh, damn it.
That's right. Yeah.
Competition.
I know. It's awful.
And I won't call you Harry Potter, Dave.
It's all right. But if I don't speak up for Harry Potter, who is going to speak up for Harry Potter?
Hagrid.
all of England.
Well, one of the nice things is that they've also announced this week with all these new Star Wars releases is that they will be very accessible because Disney and Lucasfilm have struck a deal with Netflix. And this is being reported by the DailyMail.com. The force is strong with Netflix, Disney to give everything from Star Wars to Pixar films to streaming site exclusively starting in September. So we're going to get all the old Star Wars movies. We're going to get the new Star Wars releases moving forward, all available on Netflix. So buy your Netflix stock today, people.
I wonder if they'll have rights in there to the non-special editions. Hmm. Wonder if we'll get a choice.
I'm wondering if they'll even allow it to be on there. It just says that they'll have the rights to it. Nowhere on there does it say on September they're going to start showing all of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you think they'll
allowed to distribute the DVDs? Does it say anything about streaming? Does Netflix still view the DVD?
They could always rent the DVDs. That's a separate business than the streaming rights. They could always rent the DVDs, though. Anything that's been on DVD, they can mail out to you. And yes, they still do that. I don't pay for it, but I know that they still do it. I know people who still actually get the DVDs from Netflix. So
that's so 2007.
I know, right?
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow. What's a DVD?
You have one. You watch the DVD of The Force Awakens right after you watch the Blu-ray of The Force Awakens. Right after
you
watch the custom-made VHS you made of The Force Awakens.
I have printed out the box for that. I am ready for my VHS. It's going to be badass, my friend.
I'm going to say it again. We need to watch that Laserdisc version together.
Yes.
I agree.
Player, and I have a disc.
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right.
I like that.
Seriously, right. VHS, who's in? I can adjust the tracking and everything.
Oh, that'd be so nostalgic.
Sweet.
You know, I felt the same way about it when, like, Spike got the rights to air Star Wars. It's great that it's going to be on there, but I have Star Wars. I'm literally watching Star Wars right now because it's May 25th and we're recording the podcast. So I'm literally watching Star Wars right now. There is no time I can not put on Star Wars somewhere. I don't know why the Netflix thing is such a big deal to me. I really don't.
Because it's more accessible now to the masses.
I don't care about the masses.
You know, there's it's weird to think about this, but there's a whole generation of adults now that have not seen the original trilogy. One of my colleagues at work is 25. She's seen one Star Wars film. It's Episode One. So her view of Star Wars is Episode One. That's it. She knows nothing more.
Steve, Colin the Hive will have an intervention with her. This is unacceptable. This is not right.
It's un-American.
It is.
There's a girl at my work, too, and she's almost 30. She's like 29. I think she turns 29 next week. And yeah, same thing. Only seen one Star Wars movie, and I think it was either one or two or something like that.
Yeah, my colleague.
And not even in the theater. It was on video well after the theater run.
You know what? We need to make America great again. And
hey, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad, Dave.
I know. Somebody might use that somewhere.
Yeah, someone could use it. Yep.
The Force Awakens will be playing. They have a beach movie series going on all summer long from June to the middle of August, I believe. And it will be playing. I don't have the specific date, but if you go to Long Beach's website, you can look it up. It will be packed.
Nice. Nice. Long Beach Wretched High fans, go check it out.
Yes. All right. Huntington, apparently. I will look that one up, too, for the next podcast.
Awesome. All right, guys, we've got some Rogue One news to talk about.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. More like Suicide.
A rogue band of Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request one round elimination ASAP, ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
Yeah, so guys, Rogue One news this week. We've got more information about Darth Vader appearing in Rogue One. I think we've covered this in the past, and it's just about a mathematical certainty. We are going to see the Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Vader, in Rogue One. But MovieWeb.com had an interesting story about called Darth Vader Returns in Rogue One, a Star Wars story art. There's been a leak or a preview of artwork from a new companion book that not only confirms the presence of Darth Vader in Rogue One, but gives some clues as to some other things and other characters we might be seeing in Rogue One. There is some information about a character named Director Krennic. Just scrolling down the movie web page, there's some great composite artwork here that looks like it might be taken directly from the book. There's a really cool shot of the more modern X-Wings and some pages stamped not final that give sort of overviews of different galactic villains and heroes. So get a little preview, a little leak here of some Rogue One plot points and characters.
So, Scott and Dave, You guys know more than I do about... When the trailer was released, we saw the character, apparently Director Krennic, in the cape. And you guys called him a Grand Admiral?
That is correct.
Something to that effect?
Yes.
Yeah. So, does this director character now fit into your ideas of a Grand Admiral, or does it sound totally different?
The title director is new to me, as far as I can remember, but he definitely, the look of the character looks like a Grand Admiral to me.
With the white, right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I remember correctly, and Scott, jump in if you think I've got this wrong, the Grand Admiral title, there were 12 known ones in the Star Wars universe before Thrawn showed up. So a total of 13 people with that rank for the whole, you know, imperial military machine. That director is just too blasé or too plain for somebody that's going to be on that level of importance.
Yeah, the number, I don't remember. I'm going to try and look it up real quick, but you might be correct on that. I remember that there was a select, and they had specific, I think it was locations of the galaxy that they patrolled or technically owned was their area. So I will double check on that.
Mm-hmm. You know, this leaked page here from the Rogue One Star Wars story graphic or whatever we're looking at here, this picture book or this art book, It has a little preview of who Director Krennic is. It really doesn't say much. I can just read it really quick here. As the director of the Imperial Military. So he's the director of the Imperial Military. That's interesting. Krennic is prepared to protect and preserve the evil Galactic Empire. His means of defense will be needed more than ever when a rogue band of resistance fighters comes together for a daring mission that we'll see them attempt to steal the plans for the Death Star. So, not a whole lot of new information there, but just interesting the title as the director of the Imperial Military.
It's such a broad term to use, director.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, and Dave, again, I'm going to ask you to jump in on this. Here's the thing. If you start to look up any of this information now, as we all know, Disney has taken quite a bit of the backstory or the what used to be the expanded universe and have now called it legends. And what is now considered canon, it's a very select option. If you go to any of their pages, like the Star Wars Wikipedia page and I think Star Wars website, I'm going to jump back in on some of the stuff we talked about. Director was never mentioned. The title of director is going to now become canon, and something's going to change with that title where Grand Admirals will be introduced. Don't know if the idea of how the old canon used to be, the expanded universe, which is now called Legends, but it was 12 military personnel that were the highest ranking officers in the Galactic Empire, which outranked all other political and military personnel, including Moffs and Grand Moffs. So Thrawn was one of those 12 originally, but that is now considered legend and not canon. So whatever
legacy,
whoever this director is, maybe something happens where director gets replaced and Grand Moffs take over. I'm hoping they at least come back to the Grand Admirals, not Grand Moffs, come back into the canon in some shape or form.
So are Grand Admirals referred to at all in Star Wars canon, or is it all legacy?
Well, it looks like it's turned, well, it's not even called legacy. It's actually called Legends now.
Oh, Legends,
and
sorry.
It has to be in canon because it's in A New Hope. There is a Grand Admiral sitting at the table. If you go back to the original boardroom meeting where Vader jokes, what's his name? Admiral
Tarkin?
Taggy?
Is it Taggy? Okay.
Sideburns McGee.
Yes, Sideburns.
Well, he had no faith.
When you look down at the long shot of the table, if you look at the far end, which at the screen I believe is the left-hand side, you will see a Grand Admiral sitting at that table.
But do they refer to him as Grand Admiral? Or is,
they
the,
do not,
is the title Grand Admiral ever used in the dialogue?
No, I don't think it is.
Hmm. So for all we know, that could have been a director.
Could be. Again, here's the weird thing about this whole Legends and canon issue is Lucas used, at the time when the Heir to the Empire trilogy came out, written by Timothy Zahn, Lucas used terminology from Zahn to incorporate into canon in his new films in the episodes 1, 2, and 3, which is the city planet of Coruscant. That was not a Lucas term. That was a Timothy Zahn expanded universe term that he incorporated into actual canon. So again, there's that fine line of Grand Admiral is a pretty common term used throughout the old expanded universe. Will it be retained in the new films? Something to do with his director title.
Well, George cherry picked quite a bit though. I mean,
he did.
Right. It was his universe, so
yeah,
he can pick whatever he wants.
He was smart about that. I'll give him a lot of credit for that. Huh. Look George. Me up, George. I hear you're not working now.
Director, though, I kind of agree with you that the I think it was Nico that said the term director just seems so earthly, you know. It just, it seems like something that is earthly. Grand Admiral seems Star Wars to me. I'm not sure. I don't know if I like director.
I agree, and I'm gonna throw in, if you take episode 7, you look at that scene where they're about to launch the weapon planet or whatever, there's a moment where there's too much symbolism for me of the whole, Nuremberg Nazi party where they're all lined up in front of Hitler. I know what they're trying to go for there, but director kind of sounds the same way. It's almost like they're like, hey, we're villains. Here's the director. You know what? Grand Admiral has such a galaxy far, far away feeling, as opposed to, like you said, earthly sounding terms. I know Grand Admiral is technically that, but it just feels more spacey.
Well, it has more majesty to it. I mean, director is mean, that's a job title that I've had in my life. I've been director of something. I've never in my life will I ever be a Grand Admiral, though.
You know, Star Trek kind of does the same thing. It gives a real naval feel. You know, they pilot ships. They, you know, there's captains and there's admirals. It gives a feel of the old seafaring days, I guess you would say. And yeah, director sounds corporate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I have all you guys address me as Captain Scott when we're out on my boat.
I mean,
and we are happy to do that.
Maybe, I mean, in the same breath as what you guys are saying, though, you guys are saying this Grand Admiral title is a military title. It's a title that you would give to somebody who's served in, you know, the Imperial Army or Navy in some capacity. Excuse me. Whereas maybe this director is not military personnel. He's more of a political figurehead. He's somebody who's not served or been, you know, in the military at all, but is, you know, maybe a senator who's been promoted by the emperor to be director, but he's not a grand admiral because he's not in the military.
That's a great point, Nico. My only issue with that is, again, going back to canon, which is not canon anymore, it's now legend, the character in the Rogue One trailer is wearing clearly a Grand Admiral outfit. And that, for an old school fan like me, does bug me a little bit. So,
well, but what I'm saying is George and Lucasfilm and Leland Shi and those guys at Lucasfilm, they decide what canon is. And if the term Grand Admiral has never been used on film, and if you think that, like, the films sort of, to me, are sort of the central hub of where the canon lies, right? So it's just interesting to me that as fans, we've sort of assumed that anyone in a white imperial officer's uniform with a cape is a grand admiral, because we were reared on the books and, you know, had this picture in our mind's eye of what Grand Admiral Thrawn looked like. It's just interesting to me that we make these assumptions and that Lucasfilm can just go, you know what, you guys got it wrong, this is what's right. So it's interesting.
I agree with you, Steve. I just think what's funny is that, using that as an example, here's a case where fans have a good reason to believe what those books and that expanded universe told them, because here's Lucas picking from the actual trilogy of terminology that has now become canon. So to say, oh, we can use the term Coruscant, yeah, you know what, we introduced a Grand Admiral in this series. Oh my God, it's been used in Dark Knight Dark Empire, and so on and so forth, and X-Wing Squadron or Rogue Squadron and so on and further down the road, to suddenly just go, we're going to call them directors. That just seems kind of like a dickish move to me.
If they nickname one of the Shadow Troopers Batman, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Well, we also had another Rogue One story from this one from makingstarwars.net, who posted this video of Mads Mikkelsen. Of course, Mads is cast in Rogue One, and let a little slip about who he's playing and what his character's role will be in Rogue One. Check this out.
And
how did you feel when you were approached?
A little scared. I mean, I wasn't really sure whether I was wearing a stormtrooper outfit or anything like that at that point.
So, okay.
And I wasn't sure I could fit into that. I read the script. It was very beautiful. And Felicitas playing this lovely, young and strong woman. I play her father. And that was too much. I'm sorry.
Everybody in the gallery just went, oh, you can tell as if Darth Vader's in it as well, then.
Yes, I can, but I won't.
Oh, okay. Well, at least he tried. Tell us about the other movie.
I think he slipped there. You see him on this video. He's taking a sip of water like, oh, geez, I just screwed up.
I like this guy a lot. I think he's been really good. The things that he was in, he was really good. Obviously, Casino Royale. He was the bad guy in Casino Royale. That's probably where most people recognize him from. But he had a really good, creepy run as Hannibal Lecter on the TV show that was on for two seasons or three seasons, whatever it was. It wasn't watched very widely, but it's a really well-done show. If you can still get out there and catch it, I think it might be on – was it on Amazon? If you have an Amazon Prime account, I think you can watch it on Amazon Prime maybe. I forget. But it was really, really good, creepy show. Yeah.
Hannibal was a show, I think, even if you don't like it, you had to appreciate the craft that went into that TV series. And it certainly started at the top with that gentleman and his portrayal of the early Hannibal Lecter. Because just some of the shots of him just moving around, not even saying or interacting with people, just how he moved around just were creepy and would just give me a chill when I was binging those seasons.
Oh. Yeah, agreed.
I will definitely check this out because I am a fan of the character Hannibal Lecter and I'm a fan of Mads.
It is not for the squeamish.
Okay.
It's pretty dark. You know, yeah. I think part of it came out, the first season came out around the same time as, what was the Matthew McConaughey?
True Detective, piece of crap.
True Detective, there you
what
go.
What a piece of shit series, I'm sorry.
The first season was decent, though. No, it was not. The first half of the
I
first season was good.
I watched that show from the first episode. It was awful.
I agree to disagree, but the show did get a lot of hype and publicity at the time.
Yes,
and
it did.
And Hannibal was a very similarly themed show, and I think that all the hype just went to True Detective because they had Woody and McConaughey.
Yeah. Agreed. Sorry, can you tell I have strong feelings about that show?
No, not at all.
I did not watch season two, but I heard from a friend that it did not start well and did not end well either. I do agree that the first season of True Detective really ended poorly. It was a real great, weird build-up to a really subpar finale for season one.
I just thought they should have gone all in on the ending and just had Matthew McConaughey continue to ramble in some incoherent monologue like he'd done for the whole 10-episode run of that festering pile of nonsense. Just as the credits roll, he's just monologuing and monologuing. Then the screen goes black and he's monologuing and monologuing. They cut him off.
It'd have been cooler if he did.
Wow, I'm going to have to see this show now.
Man, it's like, got some absolutely gorgeous cinematography. I will absolutely give it that.
It's like someone asking me about 3PO. My God, that was a violent reaction we got out of you, Dave. I haven't heard you that impassioned since the bad Star Wars battle when you destroyed me in the final. My God.
Jesus, I would happily watch the Clone Wars on a repeating loop than have to watch True Detective Season 1 again.
Oh, my ham.
Wow.
Tell us how you really feel, Dave. Don't hold back.
All right, all right, all right. All right, so we have additional Star Wars news outside of Rogue One. We've got Episode 8 title leaks, possibly. Did you guys see this article? We've got a couple of different sources reporting potentially the title for Episode 8 as March of the Knights. Another site was reporting the title Fall of the Resistance, and there was a video taken and posted on Reddit of a Star Wars poster from Celebration Europe that says Star Wars Fall of the Resistance. So what do you guys think? March of the Knights, Fall of the Resistance? Fall of the Resistance, I think, is a little more compelling. But I'm wondering what you guys have seen and heard.
I had also heard a title, Knights of Ren.
I've heard, and I forget the exact one, but it has a reference to the Jedi Temple in it. But I like Fall of the Resistance. I actually don't like March of the Knights. Mm-hmm. I think March of the Knights sounds like a really bad, cheesy holiday movie that I would have not liked watching when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Fall of the Resistance has more of that kind of, you know, Empire Strikes Back. It's the middle act. It's the dark before the dawn just feel to it. And it jibes with a rumor that I had read that the Laura Dern character has something to do with Princess Leia being injured and out of the and unable to basically lead the resistance for a good segment of the movie. Hmm. And the Laura Dern character takes over.
Oh, very cool.
There were lots of rumors about titles for the prequel trilogy. Titles like Balance of the Force.
Yes.
All kinds of things that were out there. I don't even pay attention to these until I see the message come up on StarWars.com, because that's when it will be official. So I really don't pay attention to any of this stuff.
Yeah, at best, these are probably working titles. Yeah, but nowhere near as good as Blue Harvest. That still is a classic.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are a little more than working titles at this point. I mean, you know, this is not meant to distract us from reality. I mean, something like Fall of the Resistance, you know, with the actors out there, like, you know, John Boyega, for instance, talking about how Episode 8 is going to be bigger and darker than Episode 7. So a title like the Fall of the Resistance, you know, makes sense. I mean, I think it's predictable that this next movie should be darker and should be more ominous and maybe even end on an ominous note, similar to Empire. On to other news. There's a really, really cool site. It's http://swanh.net. Star Wars A New Hope .net. SWANH. It is this huge infographic that includes images and all the entire script from Episode 4 on one enormous infographic on this webpage. It is so interesting. Did you guys get a chance to take a look?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
I actually found it through Mark Hamill's Twitter feed.
What was that URL again?
Yep, it's http://swanh.net. So it would be an acronym that spells out Star Wars A New Hope. .net. Check it out.
Oh yeah, I saw this with the little bubbles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Let's see, what else do I have here in the old bag of tricks? Well, if you haven't seen it yet, you must live under a rock. And that is Chewbacca Mom. Chewbacca Mom essentially broke the internet this week. I think the individual that was Chewbacca Mom, and I'm going to find her name right now, because
she doesn't need any more attention.
I actually messaged her the day I saw this. I sent her.
Scott.
I did.
Scott, you are just jealous, sir. You wish it was you in that Chewbacca mask.
For the love of all things right on the planet, no, I do not.
Her name is Candace Payne.
Damn
and,
it, Steve.
Just the sheer joy that woman has wearing that mask was hilarious. Now, I don't have that queued up, but I do have a bit she did on a late night show, James Corden. And I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but J.J. Abrams makes a little appearance here. Let's just have a listen. Check this out.
This is worth every penny!
Right, I know that you're pleased with your purchase, but, I have got places to go. Like, I have got to get to work. Is there any way we can leave now and hurry this up?
It's not me making that noise. It's the mask! I'm such a happy Chewbacca!
Right, no, I know that you're a happy Chewbacca. It just feels like... You know that doesn't sound anything like Chewbacca, right?
Anyway, how many hits did this thing get? Like 40 million hits or something?
It's a lot, yeah.
I don't know. It's ridiculous, but it's hilarious.
You know, it's
136 million. So please stop it now. Stop it. Please bring back America.
It's getting a lot of play, and she's all over the place. She was at Facebook. She's going to get to meet Peter Mayhew. There's, you know, she's. But upon, come on, Scott, where is your heart? Upon the initial viewing, just to hear that woman laughing and so happy at it, how can you not at least crack a little bit of a smile? Maybe not the second or the third time. I'm talking the first time.
Mm-mm. She's a terrible mom. says it herself. She's a terrible mom. She buys this thing and tells her kids, first of all, she parks in a parking lot, videotapes herself. I get her overall joy. God bless her. Whatever you want to say. You know what? I'm going to say, here's the problem. She's going to get a movie deal. Cole's already dumped a buttload of cash on this woman and gave her a bunch of free stuff. It's all free marketing. The joy was gone after the 2 seconds that should have aired, not 5 minutes of this video. I can't even. Oh, I need to stop. I need to walk away.
All right, just for you, Scott. Here's a little bit of JJ. Hold on.
Doesn't sound anything like Chewbacca, right? I mean, it doesn't sound like Chewbacca.
I gotta disagree. I think it's an excellent Chewbacca.
You know what? Thank you, JJ Abrams. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. JJ, what are you doing here?
I've been here the whole time. Can I give you one director's note?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah. No.
It's less like this,
and it's more like this.
JJ hamming it up. How can you not like that? Come on.
You know what? When I got the link to the video of her, I wanted to not like it, and I was cracking the hell up by the end of it. Her laughter and joy is just so infectious. You can't not be affected by it.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with.
How can you? Be
I agree
mad
with you, Greg. Like 3, 4, 5, 6 viewings in, not so much. But you know what? She earned every penny she got from Kohl's because I can't remember the last time I've talked about Kohl's.
Stop it.
I can't remember the last time that word has come out of my mouth.
She hasn't.
So for Kohl's to give her 20 grand retroactively, totally worth it.
This is my true detective. Okay, you're, buddy.
Oh.
You're on Skype right now, so you're lucky.
Yeah, I'm on Skype. That's how I know I'm safe.
Damn it. Sorry, go on.
It works for me all the time.
So Chewbacca mom, Matthew McConaughey, and C-3PO walk into a bar. I don't know.
Keep it going.
Glenn Fry is the bartender.
No.
Damn it.
Boom.
This is a nightmare, people.
That is so funny.
Here's my problem. This woman, I get her overall joy and excitement. And again, great. I'm happy for this woman. But 136 million people. There's a problem with our country, okay? And it's Chewbacca mom. That's the problem.
I'm gonna stick up for Chewbacca mom. I think the problem in this country is people don't take themselves too seriously. And for this woman to put that video online, that takes some guts.
Yeah, we should elect her president now. Why don't we do that?
I would rather watch this than Gangnam Style.
And she's more qualified than at least one of the candidates that's going to be up for election. So I'll leave it at that.
She's probably going to get a movie deal. I mean, she's already been on James Corden. For God's sakes, what is wrong with us? I'm dying.
I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to, you know, show you my. This is not a political show, but I'll just say it rhymes with grump. All right. Anyhow,
which I am today, apparently.
I got one more. today? What are you talking about? Every day.
I like Chewbacca mom, but if we're still talking about her at the 4th of July, then yes, something is wrong.
Give her a week.
Trying to find the middle ground here.
Scott, just open your heart to me, baby.
Oh my
God. Thank you, Madonna.
Wow. I've got one more story, and that is, guys, it's Major League Baseball season, and it's May, and that means it is Star Wars night.
Time for Dodgers baseball?
That's right. It's time for Dodgers baseball, and it's time for Star Wars night across the major leagues. Of course, we are here in Los Angeles, and so most of us on the call are Dodger fans, I believe. Any Go Angel Padres. Fans or Padres? So Padres are like the
in San Diego.
So we've got Dodger Star Wars night coming up on Friday, July 29th. You can get a t-shirt that says Wookiee Sensation with Chewbacca raising his arm in triumph on that shirt.
Sweet.
And I have never been to Star Wars night at a Major League Baseball game, and it looks like fun, and I want to go. So there.
I think that will be a blast.
I have a friend who's a member of the 501st Legion, I believe out of Phoenix is where he's living nowadays. Nice. But he does the he puts on the Vader costume and he goes out to the Diamondbacks games. He'll probably do this one out here. Again, this one, I'm assuming, if they need a Vader in the greater Phoenix area, they'll probably call him.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I think you should get him to be a guest on our show, Mr. Lent.
I might be able to do that.
Okay. You know who should get 136 million hits? Anyone in the 501st Legion. That's who.
Anybody, you know who deserves 130 million hits? Anybody who can work Skype in their computer at home.
That was a shot.
Dude. Get off way. Chewbacca Mom.
Well, Chewbacca Mom has kids, so apparently somebody did not get off of Chewbacca Mom.
Oh, Lord.
And that brings us to the Very Lonely Luke quote of the week.
Yay!
It's the Very Lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Just isn't fair. You know, it is Very Lonely Luke, and there was a lot of tweeting going on from Very Lonely Luke this past 2 weeks. So I had to go with a theme. I wanted to find something that epitomized the loneliness that he's feeling, and I think this does it. From May the 20th, everybody, I've been yelling for years. Now I'm convinced. I'm definitely the only one here playing Marco Polo.
I love Very Lonely Luke.
Worst haiku ever.
Wow, Very Lonely Luke. He's awesome. I love Twitter.
He's so lonely.
You know, I was not a Twitter fan for many years, and I've begun to warm to it. I think it's kind of a useful tool, and I think it's fun.
Yeah, I like it too. I think I need to use it more, but you know, I have a life. So
yeah, there you go. All right, guys, we are going to wrap the show up, but before we do, we have a contest to talk about this week, guys. We have a Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD copy of The Force Awakens that one of our lucky listeners is going to win. And the way this contest is going to roll out is actually, I have to say, we have not, other than Greg Lent, we have not had anyone call our voicemail line yet. So I'm going to incentivize the use of our voicemail line by, I am going to say, the most entertaining call we get on the voicemail line will get played on the air next episode, and the person that leaves that voice message will win the Blu-ray, DVD, digital HD copy of The Force Awakens, courtesy of the Wretched Hive podcast. So people, bring your A game. Call our voicemail line. That number is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Leave us a message. It might get played on the air, and you could win a Blu-ray copy of The Force Awakens.
Person of the Wretched Hive, not a minute. Do I get to win the DVD then?
You are not eligible to win, I'm sorry.
Can we just have Chewbacca Mom call in and she'll win because she's winning everything this week?
You are so bitter. You know bitter. What,
if you don't shut up, I'm just going to send it to her.
Man.
Please.
Damn, Scott, all these flavors to choose from and you pick salty.
Man, you're whinier than Luke right now, man.
Oh man, I can't even tell you.
go out to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters. I'm sick of listening to you.
Okay, Matrix.
I was going to go pick up some power converters. My name's Scott Ivansky. I hate Chewbacca Mom.
I got Matrix in one window, and I've got Johnny Depp as a pirate in another window. Thanks, Nico, for that. I'm going to take a picture of that.
Well, if you're like...
That's actually my face.
I know. That's what's making me laugh.
Well, if you're like Scott, sorry, I got to get to these before we close out. If you're like Scott Ivansky and have serious hatred for Chewbacca Mom, or if you love Chewbacca Mom, leave us a message. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. You can email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. We're on Instagram @thewretchedhive_podcast. We're on Twitter even @wretchedhivepod. You know, we haven't talked about Podbean much, but you can leave a message at Pod, or you can follow us at Podbean, wretchedhive.podbean.com, or simply leave us a review on iTunes. Search iTunes podcast for The Wretched Hive. And we're the first ones that come up. So hopefully we'll hear from you, and we'll look forward to your voice messages. Guys, any closing thoughts?
May the force be with you.
Chewbacca Mom is the next best thing next to sliced bread. I love her. I love her.
Sky flicks balls.
Episode 11 in the books. See you in 2 weeks.
Peace out, Holmes.